Hare Krishna. So we would like to welcome all the devotees for the inaugural day of the Gaur Purnima festival. The speaker for today is His Holiness Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj. His Holiness Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj is a very senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He has been handling the ISKCON Gurukul at Sridham Mayapur for several years. He is also right now in charge of the Rupanuga Vidyapeet, and we are very fortunate that he has taken his time out to come here amongst all of us to enlighten us with the glories of Lord Krishna. So we would like to welcome His Holiness Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj to Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. Hari Bol! So every evening and morning we will have lectures by several illustrious devotees, Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Today morning, His Holiness Sohotra Maharaj gave the Srimad Bhagavatam lecture. Several other sannyasis and disciples of Srila Prabhupada are expected. Breakfast, prasadam will be served to all the devotees who come for the morning Bhagavatam class. And then
the Hodi Tao. Gaurodaye Pushpavantao Chitrao Sandao Tamonadao. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance, and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So, this Gaur Purnima, this festival, is for the remembrance of the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is a very special incarnation. We always hear about special. So then we should try to understand, what is this special? Because going back to Godhead, that has been presented before. And you know, going to Goloka Vrindavan in the Nimbarka Sampradaya, in their tradition, then they worship also Radha and Krishna. So then what is special? The Vallabhas, then they worship also Krishna as a child. So what is the speciality? What is very unique? So that is something that we should try to understand. And if we understand this, then it makes us fixed in our determination to serve Lord Chaitanya, to serve in the line of the Acharyas. Right? Means this first verse, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bande Gurun Isha Bhaktan Isham Ishvara Ishavatarakan Tatprakasham Shatak Shakti Krishna Chaitanya Samgyakam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters, the devotees of the Lord, the Lord's incarnations, His plenary portions, His energies, and the primeval Lord Himself. So as the Acharyas, they are giving us something in this line, and they reveal Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a very special, unique thing. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can keep it down, has come to give us something special that hasn't been given before. So, what is this speciality? The speciality we see is that of worshipping Krishna in Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, in the mood of His pure, unalloyed devotees. They have no other desire but to please Krishna. Right? This is the point. That when you have the worship of Radha and Krishna and the other residents of Vrindavan, we see from the Krishna book, so many nice descriptions are there. But basically in the pastime, these aren't the impetus for the relationship. This is a very important point. is we see there's chapters on the description of autumn. You know, so many nice descriptions of the Vrindavan forests. But those either are between Krishna and Balaram, that they are walking around and discussing how nice it is, or it's just being discussed on its own. The author is describing the beauty of Vrindavan. But we see the devotees themselves, these particular beauties, even though they're there, they're appreciated. These themselves are not the main impetus to love the Lord. This makes the uniqueness. Right? In Vaikuntha, the Lord is worshipped because He's God. He's not God, they don't care, right? Means you ask the worshippers of Vaikunthapati, would they worship someone who's not God? They say, no. Why should we worship? Right? God is the supreme. We worship Him, no one else. And God is what? He's the Lord of everything. He's the Lord of all opulences. Therefore, Vaikuntha is opulent. When the different devotees, when Gopakumar went to visit Vaikuntha, then we see is that there's seven gates, there's seven walls on the city. So in the very inner, within the last, the seventh gate, that's where Vishnu lives. And then at the other gates, and you know, between that, so many other devotees and all this lives. So then, when he came, so much opulence is there, great opulence, extreme opulence. And he's never seen such opulence. But then when he goes through one gate into the next, the opulence is more. And then the next gate, it's even more. So it's opulence on top of opulence on top of opulence. It's like, it was unbelievable. We think here something is very opulent. Somebody's house is opulent, or, you know, some situation is opulent. But there, the opulence is so great, it's unimaginable. You cannot think of it, right? Because Gopakumar has seen whatever's here. Then he's going to the heavenly planet, seeing what's there, and that's much greater than whatever's here. And then he's going up to Brahmaloka, that's greater than what's here, what's in the heavenly planets. From there he's going to Vaikuntha. And then that, he's never seen this opulence, right? So we can't imagine. So this is very attractive to the minds of the devotees of Vaikuntha, because they are seeing, here's God, and it's proven, right? He's God, He's the Lord of all opulences, here's opulences you've never seen before, right? But still the point is they're worshipping Him because He's God. And He is the Lord of all these opulences, right? So first, He's God, right? Then God's a nice person. Right? He's the most wonderful and this and that. But He's God. Right? So therefore, this is called pure devotional service. It's pure. The love is pure. It's directed at the Lord. But it's not pure unalloyed. Because here, it's pure, but He still is God. And then we go to Ayodhya. Things expand more. Their relationships expand more. So there, in Vaikuntha, you only have servitorship. That's all. Right? There's Lakshmi is there. She has conjugal relationship with the Lord, but it's unseen. Right? Other than He sits there together with her. That's all. But more than that, nothing is seen. No parental ras, right? God doesn't have a father. He is the father of everybody. So that's it. There's servitorship. When you go to Ayodhya, then we see that the relationships start to expand. Friendship is there. And then the parental rasa is there. And then in a limited form, the conjugal is there. Right? There's Sita, that's all. Eka Patni Vrata. So there's only one. So it's expanded. And the taste is more. Taste is deeper. The rasa is more. The exchange is more. You know, but still, He is God, right? He's the Lord who is in this mood of Maryada, who is very, very dignified and doing things very properly according to the rules. You know, so the perfection of Varnashram you can see going on there. Like that. All the different aspects are going on perfectly. Then from there we go to Dwarka. And then the expands more. Means the conjugal rasa expands more. Now they are family members, right? Otherwise in Ayodhya, they're not family members. It means there are a few family members, but it's not expanded. But in Dwarka, it's one big family, right? All the Yadus. So the rasa then expands more. So much more is there. But still, there's that mix that he is the Lord. Now it's less. They have these rasas, they're strongly in that, but still he is the Lord. Like that. Rules are important. They to express their love, they need the rules to make the form. Right? Because that's generally we see is when we exchange with other people, there's a set standard way of doing something. You know, you serve prasad, you greet each other, or when there's someone's leaving, how you deal, you know, how you, whatever facilities you offer, it's a set thing, right? And depending upon your tradition, something is more important, something's less important. You know, you went to somebody's house, they fed you like this, therefore if they come to your house, then you have to reciprocate. You can't give less, you know, or you go to a wedding and they give a certain kind of gift, then when it goes the other way, you have to keep notes of all who gave what gift and how much it cost, right? So then you can give a similar gift. You know, so all these things, this is then the relationships are going on very nicely, right? Like this. So then that's the thing, is that you have to establish these rules. Then relationships go nicely. Otherwise, you wouldn't know what to do. Right? So this is what is unique, is that Vrindavan goes into... There's a form, but it's not bound by that form. Just like you see is that sometimes if someone's overly happy to meet somebody or a situation, they break the rules, they go beyond the rules. Momentarily. And no one minds. As long as after a few moments, things go back to normal. Right, back to the rules. But okay, a few moments of, you know, people are too happy or okay, good now and then. But it shouldn't stay like that. So Vaikuntha, Dwarka, Mathura, you see is a mix of these two. But in Vrindavan, then there is this aspect of this worship. So then in Vrindavan, then we have this form. But now we also see that we can say all other devotees, the Vallabhas and Nimbarkas, you know, some of they're also worshipping. You know, even Vaikuntha worshippers, you go to Tirupati, they're not standing in line going, you know, Jai Venkateshwar. No. Never. Govinda, like this. So I asked one gentleman, hey, this is Vaikunthapati, why you're saying Govinda? And he says, oh, because Vaikunthapati likes to remember his pastimes in Vrindavan with the cows. Like that. These are very pleasing for him. Right? And in these temples, like these big temples, Tirupati and, what is it? Sri Rangam. And I think Udipi, I think, these big major temples, then where the Lord takes rest, then they make it very nice and they put all pastimes of Vrindavan on the walls, you know, put mirrors on the ceilings. They do all nice, nice things to give the Vrindavan atmosphere. So it's understood that of all of the pastimes of Krishna, of Vishnu, the nicest are his Vrindavan pastimes. But still we see the mood is God's so great, God's so wonderful that he has such nice, sweet pastimes. But still, he's God and he's doing these things, right? So that is there in Vaikuntha. But we also see in these others that though they're worshipping in Vrindavan, there is a mood of this opulence, though it's a sweet opulence. But it's they're worshiping because he's so sweet. He's so wonderful. He does this wonderful. They want to see this. They want to see that. They want to see what's the next pastime. Right? Krishna's Nava Yovana. So at every moment the sweetness increases. They want to see what is the increase. Oh, Radha and Krishna are going to meet. What is the increased sweetness that's there? Alright? So it's a opulence within the Vrindavan. This is a very subtle point. So this is described as that there is a Vrindavan in opulence. So this door has been opened. Right? This door has been opened. And this is those who are worshippers of Krishna in Vrindavan. Generally we see before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the door that's opened. But Vraja Vrindavan, right, where that is not a concern at all, it's simply how to serve Radha and Krishna, that door has not been opened. Yeah, that makes sense. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is opening. Something very unique. Otherwise, then, you know, there's been court cases. I'm not joking. Court cases that the Nimbarkas will say that this Raganuga Bhakti, the Gaudiyas, have stolen from us. Like that? Like that. So they're not a different sampradaya. Right? Like that. And then I think it was Keshav Maharaj stopped the court case because he wrote a big article how Nimbarkacharya did not exist because there's no Shastra to prove it. And then the Nimbarkas were quiet because they knew they could not defeat him because they don't have any evidence because he's called by another name in the scriptures. So they couldn't prove. So they just quiet. But otherwise, there was some unrest is there. So the point is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving something more that is based on just pure unalloyed love. Just that Krishna is the nicest person that they know. They love him so much. That's why they're worshipping. No other reason. Not because he's God. Not because of his opulences, not anything. Just his wonderful qualities are there. These four qualities: his wonderful flute playing, his association with his devotees, his pastimes, is like this. That's all. They appreciate. Right? And then within this, then the Radha and Krishna worship. Like that. Then that takes it to another level. But just so in general we can understand that he's opened up something new. You know, that it has, when it says has not been given, it means that. Right? Otherwise then one can say Radha and Krishna worship has been there for a long time. All the acharyas talk about it. So then what's special? No, but this is special. It's a subtle point. Another aspect is understanding his mission. Right? His mission is very important. It means he has three main principles: Jiva Doya, Vaishnav Seva, and Nama Ruchi. So this is the essence of the whole Sankirtan mission. So all these aspects are there. It means the Sankirtan mission cannot function if only one is there. No, they have to all of them be there. Because these cover all the aspects. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, we'll take another side. We'll approach from a different angle. Advaitacharya, he was sitting in Shantipur, and he was looking around, and he's the head of a Brahminical community there. Big community is there in Shantipur. All very paka paka Brahmins. We have to remember that means, like on this side of India, means you have your local Maharashtrian Brahmins, and then you also have the Saraswat Brahmins, right? Saraswat Brahmins, there's two groups. One that's just called Saraswat Brahmins, and one that's called Gaur Saraswat Brahmins. So where does that Gaur come from? That is because they stayed in Bengal. They went from the Saraswati River when that dried up, and they moved to Bengal. Right? And then from there, then they came, you know, down south, like that. Some say also that the Brahmins in Kerala, that Parasuram brought from Bengal, like that, that's where they came from. So then, so the Bengali Brahmins, they were, you know, very good standard of Brahmins. And also at that time, then Navadvip, that area, that was the place, that was the big seat of knowledge. Nowadays we think of Varanasi or, you know, different places. But at that time it was Navadvip. Navadvip was the biggest place. So then he is, you know, head of the community of Brahmins there. So very respectable position, very powerful position. And not only that, he's the Supreme Lord himself, he's Mahavishnu. And he's looking around at the state of affairs and seeing that there's nothing he can do. You have all these smartas, you have all these materialists, right? Basically you have two kinds of people, those who are smartas and those who are being influenced by the moguls. Right? They're very contemporary, modern people, right? Now we think we're being modern, right? Before all these old-fashioned people, but, you know, we're watching our Star TV, we're wearing our jeans, we're eating at McDonald's, we're doing all these modern things. But this mood of modern has always been there. So there at the time of Lord Chaitanya, the modern thing was you knew Persian, you moved with the Moguls, you knew how to do all these different things. That was the in thing at that time, right? So you had these two kinds of people, right? Vedic, but Vedic to the point of, you know, completely missing the point of what the Vedic culture is for, because they weren't devotees. Or being very modern and upbeat and contemporary, and they were becoming like Muslims, right? Very broad-minded, open-minded, you know, like this, speculators. So he looks around and there's nothing for him. What can he do? Because in Gita, he's made the point, ye yatamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. As you surrender, I will reciprocate. They're not surrendering, how he'll reciprocate, right? They're surrendering to material energy, she's already taking care, right? She's already reciprocating with them. So how is he going to save them? Because there has to be some interest, right? Dhruva Maharaj was looking for God. Gajendra was also praying to God. Means, you know, so then he's coming. But here, God's here, standing there on the streets of Shantipur, and nobody cares. Nobody's interested. Nobody wants. So he can do nothing, right? Because as God, he's already made his statement. As you surrender, I will reciprocate. This is the nature of relationship, right? It means relationship depends upon how the other person deals with you, right? You want to reciprocate, you want to have a relationship with somebody, but that relationship will be established by how they deal with you. And if they don't deal with you, where's the relationship, right? So there's God waiting, but no one's taking advantage, right? So then, what to do? So then he understands and the people are becoming very degraded. Right? They're misusing the Vedic culture, they're becoming materialistic, all these things. So therefore they need some strong help. But they're not coming forward, they're not looking for it. Right? Other ages they came forward, this age they're not. So then it's important to find a way out, because the purpose of human life, as Sahotra Maharaj is describing this morning, is to go back to Godhead. Whole material creation is only for that purpose. So then how are we going to work this out? Because the Lord himself can't do it. Right? So then, what's going to happen? Krishna said that in Gita. So that means between Krishna and Mahavishnu and Garbhodaksha and Kirodaksha, they're expansions of him, right? Balaram then is expanding from Krishna, and he's expanding as Mahanarayan and as Karanodaksha Vishnu. So that means all the Vishnu tattvas are out. Who's going to save them? Right? But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of a devotee. And devotees didn't make that statement. Krishna made that statement. Right? That's the point. Right? Krishna is waiting for you to recognize him. Right? He's sitting in the tree, the two birds in the tree. He's just sitting there waiting when you'll turn your face, when you get tired of eating all these nice little fruits on this tree. Right? So he's sitting waiting. So there was Advaitacharya sitting and waiting. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's in the mood of his devotee, therefore he doesn't sit and wait. He goes out to the people. And even though they don't want to hear, they don't want to listen, they don't want to know, he tells them anyway. Because the devotee is not restricted. Therefore, Prabhupada makes a statement, the devotee is more merciful than God. Because God lets you do your nonsense. You want to do nonsense? Okay, no problem. Like that. Maybe there'll be a little reaction for what you're doing. Like that. We have it worked out, right? There's 26 different hells. But, you know, that's a minor point, right? Most people don't worry about that, right? Right? Like you eat the feast, you don't think about what's going to happen after lunch, you know? No one worries about that, you know? So, therefore, you want to enjoy, fine. Material nature is already doing that. Right? But going back to Godhead, that's another thing. So the devotee is coming and telling like that. Even people don't like, but they're telling anyway. Like you see Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. They're going and preaching to Jagai Mata. They're the last ones that want to hear about this stuff. Right? They're the last ones. So this is the special thing, is that you have to save them, right? The devotee can uplift them, but it's still Krishna has to deliver them. Right? That's the point. Is to get liberated, that only Krishna can do, only Vishnu can do. Right? He's Mukunda, right? So, but Mukunda is not preaching to them. The devotee will preach, but they have to be liberated. Right? So we see here, you have the devotee and the Lord as the same person. So, therefore, he is the only one who can save them, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because as a devotee, he will preach, but as the Lord, he can liberate. Right? So this is the special feature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why he had to be called. Right? That Advaitacharya couldn't do. So then if we look at it, then the preaching mission, that is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? This is the desire. So therefore, the preaching is there because of Radharani. Right? Krishna has taken the mood of Radharani. Krishna, as Krishna says, as you surrender, I will reciprocate. Right? The preaching is going on because he's taken the mood of Radharani. This is a very important point. Otherwise, some people will say, you know, we're devotees of Radharani, therefore, why we get into all this preaching and all these different things and all, you know, we just sit, do our bhajan. But the point is why is the preaching there? Why is Lord Chaitanya there? Because of Radharani. So the preaching mission is actually hers. Right? Krishna wants it. So Radharani only does those things that Krishna wants. She knows perfectly what Krishna wants. More than anyone. Right? Like that. So, yeah. She is the devotee. Nectar Devotion says, technically there's only one devotee. That's Radharani. Right? Right? And everyone else is her servant. Like that. Because all other devotees have expanded from her. like that. All other energies, everyone is expanding from her. So she's the devotee. So this is her desire, to see all these living entities again serving Krishna. Because if they serve Krishna, it will please him more. It will expand his pleasure. So she wants to see them all serving him. Therefore, the preaching mission is her mission. Right? That is the point. Otherwise, you see, Krishna is very lenient. Right? You want it, okay. You know, you're coming back to Godhead, going in the Swan airplane, you see Vaikuntha, oh, that looks nice, I'd like to take a look around. Okay, yeah, we'll go look, why not? You know? But we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very strict. So this is the devotee. The devotee is strict. Right? So this whole mood, the whole preaching mood, the whole preaching mission is because of the mood of Srimati Radharani. So that's why it's said that the Nama Sankirtan, that is akin to, that is the rasa dance. Because then all the devotees are chanting the Lord's name in this congregational thing. That is the rasa dance. Like that. We may not understand it or realize it, but, you know, there are those who do. But it doesn't make the point any less. Right? If we don't know, just like you put some Mahaprasad out in the street and some dogs and crows come along, they don't know. They're not sitting out there and going, ah, Bhagavat Prasad and this and that. You know, and saying their prayers and all this. They're not, we don't see. They're just eating it. They're fighting. You put anything in the street, they'll fight over it, right? So you put Prasad. So, but it doesn't mean the effect of Prasad's not there. The benefit is there. Of course, if you know what you're doing, Krishna explains to Nanda Baba at the Govardhan Leela, that if you know what you're doing, you get more benefit than if you don't know what you're doing. So therefore, as we advance and we know more and more, then the benefits are greater and greater. So even though we don't, then the Sankirtan mission then has this mood. So this mission is very important. So that is the And then that comes to us through the acharyas, and the acharyas then establish for us how to serve, how to worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the best, for the time, place, and circumstance. And then that, following their mood, then becomes our mission, our life, like that. So that is the important thing. Then you may structure it in one way, structure it another way. That's management. Like that. But the mission, that is there. The picking up the fallen souls to establish things in the proper mood. That is the essence. That is the dharma. So this is, then we see that why only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could establish all these things. Are there any questions on any of this so far? No? We bewildered everybody. Yes. On this point? On these points? Huh? Means question on these two points that we've made about the descent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given.
My question is, you said that devotees are expansion of Radharani. So how about those who are Vaishnava Apradhi, those who have committed offense?
Means this is an important part of our devotional development. Means, see, someone who's committed offense, what is the problem? Right? If we're strong in our faith and everything, then what do we care? If everybody else has nothing good to say, then it doesn't affect us. Right? Is it? Does it bother you? You know? It means like that. But the main problem is these kind of persons can affect others. So for those who don't know, then they must be avoided. And the only way to get people aware of this is to make them aware by telling what are the particular, you know, symptoms. So then by understanding these symptoms, then you know this person is not to be associated with. But the individual soul themselves still doesn't change their dharma, that of eternal servant of Krishna. That remains, though they are not very interested in it. So therefore, we avoid. Otherwise, their association will be bad. Their association will not be good. You know? You understand?
Maharaj, you elaborated different angles how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's contribution to this. The second one you mentioned about his preaching mission, Jive Daya Name Ruchi and Vaishnava. But you didn't elaborate, can you please?
It's somehow or another is not coming so easily. Like that. Whether it's, you know, whether there's enough time. Or see, there's internal and external reasons for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent. So, externally, then basically that's been described. It's for, you know, uplifting the fallen souls. The whole material world, its whole purpose is to uplift the fallen souls. Like that. That's what it's for. So then we've discussed then how only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is able to do that in this age. Other forms, they don't come. They're not the Yuga avatar, because the difficulty is people are not coming forward, especially at this time. So then that externally is there, and we've explained that external is still because of the point of Srimati Radharani. So you must be very careful in discussing these points, external and internal, because it's a very fine thing, right? Just like means many like to make a difference, like externals on this side and internals on this side. No, it means they're very much connected. What you think and what you do, are they connected or not? Right? You think, let's say there is some Mahaprasad, right? It's always a very good thing to discuss. Everybody can relate to the example. So you have this Mahaprasad, you're very hungry, right? And you see this Mahaprasad, right? And you think, I would like to honor this Mahaprasad, right? And then in thinking I would like to honor, that's the internal. The attraction is there, that's the eternal, internal. So do we find that the external also is working at the same time? While we were thinking that, are we not, you know, moving our head to the right and left and see if anybody else is coming, and then, you know, taking what we can and getting in our mouth as quickly as possible? Right? Yes or no? Yes. So it's going on from the internal, the external is there. That's the whole thing. If internal is there, there's going to be external. That's the whole point. Is that is why we are worshippers of Rupa Goswami. Right? We are worshippers of Govindaji. Because he is the Lord, Govindaji is the Lord of Abhideya, which means activity. Right? Means the other two technically are not really activity. Right? Means you have sambandha, means your relationship, means your attraction. Right? Prayojana then means your attachment. Right? So attraction is there, doesn't mean you'll do anything. When attachment's there, then you'll do something. Right? Like that. Attraction is there, there might be still some shyness, but when attachment's there, no shyness is there. So then you'll do something. So that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's her philosophy, is these three points. Sambandha, her relationship, Abhideya, is the activity within that relationship, and Prayojana is the goal, or that pure love of Krishna. Right? Devotees are familiar with these terms? Yeah, okay. So now, so everything is working on these three. The whole philosophy, the whole culture, everything you can break down into these three. This is a very, very essential point. And everything can be seen there. Therefore, Madan Mohan, he's attracting, right? He's blowing the flute and attracting the gopis, right? And Govindaji, then in that mood, he's performing his pastimes. And Gopinath, Gopi Janavallabha, he's the one who's very dear to the gopis. So when they're thinking, you know, how their love for Krishna, that's Gopinath, right? But that's the thing, it's thinking of, it's appreciating that, right? So it's, mind is active, but the activity, that's Abhideya, that's Govindaji. See? That's the pastimes manifesting. So, therefore, from the internal, the external is very fine, right? So then these come across in this way. So Lord Chaitanya is attracted. He wants to know what is Radharani's attraction for him. Right? That is the first thing. What is it that attracts him to her? I mean, attracts her to him. Right? That's the one first thing he wants to taste. This is now we're discussing the internal. Then the second is in these pastimes, what is it she tastes in these pastimes? In that exchange. And then the third is the love that she feels by engaging in those pastimes. Right? So this is what he wants to taste. Because he can't, he himself, it'll be very difficult to taste these things. Because he is the reservoir of rasa. Right? He's the reservoir of rasa. So this is called technically the Vishai. The Vishai means is the enjoyer. And then, depending upon the person that's dealing, they will draw from him that rasa. It means Krishna is rasa. Right? He is rasa. Anandamayo bhyasat. He is rasa. So when Mother Jashoda is in front of him, she is the ashray, or the shelter of parental rasa. So when she stands in front of Krishna, she draws from Krishna that rasa, that vatsalya rasa. When the cowherd boys stand in front of Krishna, they draw from him that rasa of the friendship. And when the gopis stand in front of him, they draw from him the rasa of conjugal love. So therefore, that is why Krishna is dependent upon his devotees. That's why he himself is not preaching. Right? As you surrender means as what you draw out, that's what he reciprocates. You want material energy, you know, you want to enjoy the material energy. Therefore God comes to you in the form of material energy and then he reciprocates in that way. But it's indirect. You know, it's not no satisfaction for him. Right? So you can't. This is relationships. This is a fundamental point of, means any relationship you want to understand, you have to understand this point of ashray vishay. You don't behave properly, you don't draw out from them. If you wonder why they're not behaving in that way, maybe because we're not behaving to draw that out. You know? That's one consideration. But the point is that's another discussion. So, therefore, then she is drawing out from him these things. And she is tasting that. Because he is rasa, and he is reciprocating with her love. So her attraction, he is attractive. Right? Her love, he is lovable. Right? And she performs activities to match what will please him. So she tastes that. Right? He is the enjoyer. But there's an enjoyment that the devotee tastes because it's more focused, right? God is tasting all these, right? But the devotee is only tasting the one. So the focus is much more intense. Mm-hmm. Make sense? So this is what Lord Chaitanya wants to taste. This is the whole reason he has come in her mood, so he can taste that. So if we are saying, so then now we'll move to start looking at the connections. So now if this is his mood and this is what is Lord Chaitanya, then how can we can say that the preaching is not Lord Chaitanya? We just say it's Vaikunthapati. Oh, this is his Vasudev pastimes. Right? Some will say, that's Vasudev. Gaur Narayan. Right? So, aspect may be there, but the point is still, if he's Narayan, how can he go out and tell somebody something they don't want to hear? He's already said, they're not surrendering, so he has to be devotee. And what devotee? Srimati Radharani. So therefore, then these moods, you can't separate the two. The preaching is going on because if he's tasting these moods. Right? So therefore, then these come down into three things. This is the connection. Right? Means the attraction to Krishna, that is because of relationship. Right? So therefore, the external manifestation of that is helping others establish their relationship with Krishna. Right? So that's jiva-doya. Right? Then that relationships, that service to Krishna, that is not done alone. You don't see Radharani alone. You don't see Krishna alone. So who is that done in? With? Devotees. So this is Vaishnava Seva. Right? And then that Krishna, that having that love for Krishna, that is Nama Ruchi. Mm-hmm. The internal, the direct. It's not the external is one thing and internal is another. No, they're intimately connected. Right? Like that. So this is the thing. So some may say that this is there, and so we don't care about these external reasons and the preaching and the opulence and all that's not so important and all this vaidhi and this and that. We're just interested in the rag, the taste. But it's very nice, but are we the ones that are able to taste it? Somehow or another, Lord Chaitanya is tasting it right in the streets of Puri during Harinam Samkirtan. While he's preaching. Right? He has his time with his intimate associates in the Gambira. That is there. But it's not that he's not tasting these things other time. Right? Otherwise the whole pastime of the Ratha Yatra, is that happening in the Gambira? No, it's happening on the streets of Puri. And that's just, okay, so just a few devotees, like normally they're going out and doing their Harinam in the street. Right? That so mainly you'll have the devotees there, and maybe there's some other people this and that. Is that what's happening at Ratha Yatra? No, millions and millions and millions of people. Of course they're devotees, they're there. But it's not that these are the most advanced of the devotees. Right? And there's all kinds of people. Some people are there just to sell bananas, right? Right? That's where the saying comes, Rat Deka Kolabecha. Right? You know this one? You know? Means that you get two things done at once, right? Is that you go to see Ratha Yatra, at the same time you sell your bananas, right? Like that. So the saying comes because people are doing that, right? So many guys are there selling things, right? So this is where then he's tasting this whole thing of that separation and bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. This is like one of the most, deep of all the, pastimes. So it's happening during the Nama Samkirtan. So therefore, one has to be very, very careful about just taking some aspect of the Lord's pastime and just moving to the side because it's not very elevated. At the same time, we can't disregard the other aspects. But there has to be a proper understanding and balance of these things. So that is there. Does that make any sense? Okay. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, since you are known as a very good authority about culture.
Why don't you get to the point?
So, my question is, we see that so many people in India are now being attracted by the Western way of living. Mm. And especially if you are preaching to the youth, they feel that all this, what you're doing, Krishna consciousness and practicing of these principles, is very difficult in modern times because there is so much of pressure. So, would you like to comment on this as to how one can, in spite of having such background in India, how can people take to this process facing all these difficulties?
Well, one thing is, who's creating the difficulties? Right? Are there a bunch of Americans out here on the street here, and any time an Indian walk by that he's not dressed in a modern thing, they're laughing at them? And right? Are there? There's a whole group here that they're, you know, forcing, you know, by their imperialistic ways, they're enforcing the American culture on India. No, Indians are taking it readily themselves. So what do you mean there's so much pressure? They're creating the pressure themselves. That's the whole thing. It's an illusion. They're creating it themselves. So the main thing is that those who, that there means you live something you value. That's the essential point. Is somebody, how they dress, how they walk, how they talk, they're doing that according to what they value. So that is the most important thing that one generation can give to the next, is the values. So if the previous generation doesn't value it, then, right? How many, you know, middle-aged, you know, women in, you know, their, what is that, shalwar kameez, are taking their young little 8-year-old girls out to some shop to buy these skin-tight plastic clothes? Right? Isn't it? So then, where's the values? That 40-year-old woman would be wearing it if she thought she could get away with it. But because, you know, some of her relatives and others might make some complaints, plus maybe, you know, she doesn't have the particular form to look good in it, you know. Otherwise, she'd be out there also. So the value you can see in what they give their children, right? So they don't value it, therefore they can't give it. Or even if they value it, unless you can explain it, then how will someone take it? Sentiment's not enough. Sentiment and philosophy, they both have to be combined. Right? So you have to have both of them. So the difficulty comes is just, in India, it's just people have allowed their own culture to go away. Right? I mean, they forget many things. It means, Why, at least nowadays, you know, not so many, I mean, okay, Pepsi-Cola is coming here, but otherwise, why were people invading India, right? Right? Were they going and invading the Sahara Desert, you know? You know, you hear of invading so many other places. No, they're invading India. Why? Because it was rich. It was the richest place on the planet. Right? Other places didn't have it. Europe was mad after all the things, the spices and the gold and the silks and the this and the that. So they were all coming here. So people forget that what were they doing before? They were simply following their own practices. But the problem is they become proud of their practices. And therefore they think that they're, you know, superior, this and that. And so then so many problems come up. So the main thing is that if you yourself understand the culture and the philosophy, you practice it, you value it, then you'll find others will come forward, because there's nothing there. You know? Means at least if you have the Indian culture, you know, the Vedic culture, whatever is left of it, that means there's a little more substance there, some nicer relations in the family, you know, it's much better cooking, you know, much finer dressing. You know, it's like, how long can you go on eating Domino's pizzas before you get sick of it, you know? So it's like, you know, it's not very well developed cooking. So it's very easy, right? I mean, you ask, you know, probably a majority of the devotees, you know, during Prabhupada's time, how they became devotees. You know, and I've heard a huge amount say it's the halava, right? Halava. It's just the halava. It's just you taste that halava and that's it, you know, it's like you surrender immediately. That's halava cooked with ghee, right? That's, you know, it's, huh? Yeah, no oil, ghee, right? And sufficient amounts. Right? Means health is not the consideration here. We're talking about good taste, right? So, and you see, because there's nothing there. There's no substance, no philosophy, nothing. In the Western life, what's there? Right? I mean, you look at it. What is there? You have some nice, you know, girl grown up in a nice family, and you see what does her face look like, right? And then you go on out and buy one of these new, you know, how you say, women's magazines nowadays, and you look at the faces on there, you know? It means, and so you can't compare. It means you can find those other faces. Yeah, you go to the zoo. Right? Like that. Means, and in the zoo, you have to go to where they have these kind of big cats, like that, you know, like tigers and, you know, these kind of things. Then you see these kind of faces and looks like that. So it's nothing there. It seems to be new. So they're like new crows. Prabhupada said Indians are like new crows, and the Westerners are like old crows. Right? I don't know. Here you have a lot of crows. Good amount. So if you take your garbage and throw it in the garbage pile, there's the young crows are all out there, making so much noise, jumping, pulling, poking, this and that. And the old crows are all sitting around on the side. Right? Because they know most of it's garbage. Right? Right. Yeah. Sorry. So then, if the young crows actually find something, then they come down and chase them away and take it. Right? Right? So that's it. So India is like the new crows, right? They just come along, you know, anything if it's Western, they immediately take it and it's wonderful and that. If you took all these items and everything and took them to America, no one would buy them. I'm telling you, no one would buy them. You know, it wouldn't be called pizza. It's not a burger. You know, then most of these things, just recently they're starting to get some stuff. But otherwise it's nothing. It's not, you know, you wouldn't, if you paid someone, they wouldn't wear some of these outfits. They wouldn't. So whatever, that's there. I mean, just give them time, they'll become more expert. I know when I came to India, it was so funny seeing Indians smoke. Like that. They didn't know how they take the cigarette, stick it in here somewhere. They do funny things. And then they were so confident, right? They would sit there like they're really, you know, some big movie actor, and then they'd be smoking their cigarette, and it looked so funny, like that. But after about 15, 20 years, then they got it together. They could kind of, they didn't look so foolish. So, you know, now they wear all the Western stuff, they talk like Westerners, they act like Westerners, they look really stupid. You know? But you give them time, they'll figure it out. You know, Indians are, you know, smart, so but the main point is you can't change anything unless you yourself have changed. Therefore, the parent is telling, no, you should do this, but why? They can't explain. Right? And they're only doing it because if they don't do it, other relatives and other community members are going to speak badly about them. But if no one was watching and no one would say anything, who knows what they'd be doing? Right? Right? It means, I think that, I can't remember the exact thing, but it's like value is something you do when no one's watching. Right? What you do when no one's watching, that is what is your own actual culture. You know, what you do when others are watching, that's another thing. That's, you've been trained. Like that. So that's the thing, is unless we accept and follow our own culture, then we're not going to have any effect. And if you follow, then so many are here, right? You're also here. Isn't it? You could be out at Domino's Pizzas now, right? It's open. But you're not. You're here. Isn't it? So that's the whole point, is that because you see something real, you see something with substance, therefore then one's attracted. At least intelligent people are attracted. Right? That's the saying, the last verse of the Bhagavatam said, those who are intelligent, they will take up the Sankirtan movement. Right? So that's the point. And so then, be there. So you have to practice what you're preaching. You know, that's the whole thing. Otherwise, if you're not practicing it, how you'll get Nama Ruchi? Right? If you're not practicing it, then there is no Vaishnava Seva. So then our attempts at Jiva Daya won't have any effect. We have to practice ourselves. So that's important. Does that make sense? Okay. What time is the darshan? Right now. Oh, okay. Okay, so now we'll stop for the darshan. Thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jai Nitya Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.